Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're listening to us while you're doing something good. Maybe cooking for your family. Maybe hiding from your family in the bathtub, pretending that it's on. Maybe cleaning out the garage. Whatever it is in your little home quarantine self, we hope you're doing well. Paul and I are doing this one remotely today. He is in his little pod. I am in my spacecraft over here. And we're just orbiting around each other, but still getting it done.
We are sheltering in place, as they say.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's, I hope that it's starting to work. I saw something about the numbers in New York were pretty decent. You know, not everyone's going to get out of it in tip-top shape, but I think it seems to be working. Got to stay away from each other. The only time I've been out of my house in the last 4 days was to go to the food store. It's the supermarket.
Oh, yeah?
How about you? Yeah.
How was it? How are you stocked up? Because you were worried about me, but you got four people there that have highly sensitive diets. So.
Yeah. It's not a lot of quantity, but it's a lot of variety, for sure. There's I keep going online trying to come up with new things because you don't want to be too bored. And I've ordered out, you know, to try and support the places that we love. But it's a bit of a thing, you know. The stuff comes in, and everybody's Cloroxing the boxes, and you know,
yeah.
You want to be safe. So we cook most of the time anyway. So we've been doing mostly that, and of course baking like crazy. I'll talk about that in a minute. But I haven't had to go out that much. We're not hoarding anything. The supermarket has this great policy: one of each item. Which I think is great.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to stop everybody from freaking out. You know, my friend's in Ireland right now, and he posted a thing how they're staying home, they're taking care of the old people, but they're not panicking. Part of it is that they don't have cable news scaring the life out of them, but everybody's just acting accordingly, not buying more than they need. Everybody's just doing the same thing we're doing, but without the panicky phase and trying to freak out and think that you're never going to get food again. So the supermarkets are still stocked with stuff. People are just acting a little more civilly and staying home and doing the right thing without the waves of fear that I really truly believe comes from too much of a 24-hour news cycle. You know, it's good to be informed and it's good to get your stuff, but then, you know, you got to go about your life. The rest of it is just, you can make yourself sick with it, which in that culture, at least, he was saying wasn't happening. So in our supermarket, they put on this couple little rules, which is one of each item, and allow things to become restocked and come in. And also every sale is final, which is another great thing, because people who got home and suddenly realized they have 15 cases of tuna fish. they're not allowed to come back and get their money back at that point.
Yeah, so I didn't know if that was like here's the thing is that supposedly we have all these great, you know, public service, everyone's on social media, everyone's on everything.
Yeah.
But there's no, we even lived in New York City during 9/11. There was no text message, no emergency broadcast system. Nothing right. Worked. So you're just hearing what the last guy told you or what somebody says on the news. And, you know, it'd be really nice if something, you know, like we have our president says one thing and then a doctor that's on the same press conference says something completely different right after him. And then we have our governor, you know, in New York and California that seem to be, like, taking charge, you know? So supposedly, I guess we had, like, something that's supposed to be an extra lockdown, But I've never gotten a text message or anything about it. I check Twitter to see people reacting about it. But I think that's part of the, not paranoia, but I guess the fear is like that nobody really knows what's going on and nobody's really in charge, you know?
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, they are, but you it's right. It's people get confused of like what the sources are. And rather than listening to, you know, some dingbat on Twitter, you know, listen to someone on Twitter who's part of the LA Times or part of the governor's office. You know, that's the way you've got to do it. Trust your sources, get it from that, and then the rest, you know, you just don't really digest. But what are you eating is my question.
Well, I mean, we, you know, basically we're kind of in the Hollywood area, so it's pretty busy. So right in the beginning, everyone did freak out, and I don't need like a ton of stuff, so I wasn't really worried about too much.
Yeah.
And then you go to like you know, there's like a Target and I forget what the other place, there's a couple other places that were like completely wiped out, you know, during that first couple days.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like going around when there's that many people in there anyway. So I was still kind of in the mode of like, I'd rather get takeout from like this mom and pop place that one person's touching it than like a frozen pizza that 50 people looked at in Walmart or whatever, or right, you know, whatever store it was.
Right.
But I actually did like a nice drive to Malibu, like last week, and which was kind of nice. They had just closed all the beaches and stuff, so I drove up there, and you know, it was like kind of a peaceful drive. I don't know if you're like that with driving. You're probably not, but I just like driving kind of clears my head, and I like just to get out a little bit.
Yeah, that helps.
And so I drove up there, and then I kind of drove back through Calabasas, and there was like this little Albertsons that like had everything, and it was open. Like this was like 9 o'clock or something. It was like open. And the deli was still open, and they had bread. They had they had like all the stuff that the regular stores didn't have.
Yeah.
So I just kind of stocked up. That was like the, you know, the middle of the week last week, and so I'm still kind of like coasting with that stuff. And then,
but what was the stuff? What specifically? What is a quarantine meal for Paul?
Well, I guess, you know, you got like some frozen stuff, obviously, and then you got you know, you got to get all your water, your Gatorade, your soda, your green tea.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things my mom is worried about. She said she's using her tea bag twice just in case,
because uh-huh,
if they run out of tea, is that a thing that can happen?
Good question. I don't think so.
But the big one, you know, I got like deli meat just to make sandwiches.
Okay.
And, crackers, I guess, is another hot commodity. Let's see, like I got some hamburgers that were like kind of frozen to cook.
Yeah.
Like so I got some of that stuff. So I'm pretty well set. Like, I'm not going through, like, a ton of stuff. I didn't need, like, a case of beer a day or anything like that. That's what I feel like. I feel like most people are really eating like pigs because they bought so much stuff, or they're drinking like fishes.
Yeah, I know. Both aren't good to do.
Yeah.
I'm on a text chain with all my friends from high school who are, we've all remained really good friends, and it's a funny group of people. And it seems like everybody's really been drinking a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's what I don't know. Would you guess that married people or people with live-in relationships are drinking more than single people?
Good question. Yeah, probably. Because there's a social element to it. You've got more hassle, maybe. You're worried about more people. Yeah, probably. And
I mean, also, I don't know. There's people, most people who are alone, I guess. I don't know. If I was just sitting here being lazy all day, at least you feel like you want to do something semi-healthy. Like, even last night, I was kind of like, at least I have, like, barbells here. I was just at least doing that while I was playing, like, video games. But, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's the key. I mean, they say that the most important thing you can do is, I was listening to this really good podcast, the Gabriel Reese podcast the other day, and they had this really good doctor on who was talking all about the things that you should be doing right now. And he's like, he thought it was pretty senseless to tell people that there's nothing you can do for yourself on health-wise with this virus floating around. And he's like, yeah, it's absolutely not true. You should be building up your immune system. You should be taking care of yourself. You want to be stronger for the, on the outside chance that you do get it, your body will be much stronger and able to deal with it. You know, if you're smoking all the time, you're not going to be in a good shape for it. But beyond that, he was saying, you know, it's really important to have vitamin C and a bunch of other things. He said, but the most important thing is to control your stress and get really good sleep. That's the most important thing. And that's kind of the argument against drinking too much. You don't sleep well after you've been drinking. You think you're sleeping, but you're really just kind of passing out, and it's fitful because your body always wants to wake up out of it. So, you know, look, it's always fun. Cocktail hour is always nice. It's fun. But we're not doing it every day, and we're limiting it to like one or two when we do it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing is, like, you see these people and it feels like you have a timeline for their alcoholism. Because it's like, okay, I've seen you post that one before. We know you accept the shot challenge, Carol.
Right, exactly.
We know it's time for wine. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yeah, we get it. I know. It really is a fine line when you watch people, when it goes from like being, you know, there's like the college age drinking, and then like after college, there's still that kind of partying. And then it goes into now you're like a grown up, and because you have children and this what seemingly grown up life, you think that, oh no, now it's just elegant because you're drinking wine or you're drinking cocktails. But when that's just a different costume for the same kind of problem. You can
see.
And when and there is a fine line between it being cute and, oh, it's always fun, it's cocktail hour, we're gonna do it. But then when you can't go a week without doing it and you're starting to then, you know, it's a sneaky problem when people drink too much. It kind of just kind of creeps up with you. And then there's the other people on the other side of it who say, yeah, it's a problem. And I enjoy it, and I'm going to keep doing it.
Right. Yeah, that's the thing is, like, you know, it's kind of disguised, especially this whole wine culture.
Yeah.
It's kind of disguised as this, you know, high-class drunk kind of thing.
You're
you know?
A high-class like, hobo.
Like, I had one friend that was like, hey, I was thinking about being, like, this thing for, you know how there's, like, a sommelier for wine? What is it called when you do that with beer? And I was like, an alcoholic?
Yeah, right, exactly.
But I will say this, I did do one thing that I'd been planning on doing, and I got before all this went down, I got a new bed, and I will say that that's probably the best the best purchase I've made. So
that's smart. How did you do it? Just online?
Well, there's a place that's literally like next door to me that I got this last bed from, and then there's like a little something wrong with it, so they're like, oh, we'll hook you up. And so I got that all done like before this happened. So I'm like, wow, this is great, because that's why I was like, I go, so far I've gotten a bed and slippers, so I don't know what that says about me in quarantine, but I'm not ordering free weights.
I've actually been, we were just having this discussion last night, because I think, I don't know what it is, we have a big bed, and it's been okay, and we've had this top, like, foam thing that goes on top of it, but I just realized when I skittered off to the guest room, how much more comfortable that bed was. And when I'm laying on mine, it's so hard now that, like, my shoulders are actually falling asleep when I roll over on my side. And I'm really, it's like when you're in college and just, like, sleeping on your buddy's couch or on the floor, and you're like, oh. And so I feel like we need to get a new mattress, but this doesn't, my wife is like, this isn't really a great time to be go laying down on mattresses in some showroom. Right, right. but it, man, is good call that you got it in on time, because this is like, you know, not only is it healthy, it's also fun to be sleeping in a comfortable bed right now.
Yeah, and when you're like excited, like, you know, when it came, I was just like, I was like laying on it for like a couple hours, like, this is gonna be fun. Like, I was really excited about it.
Yeah. Oh my God. You know, you spend a lot of time in that spot. Probably more time than you do anywhere else on the planet.
Well, it's interesting with you know, because you've had like some back issues and stuff, and it's interesting how much that plays into all of that. Like, when you, even if like a hotel bed is not good, you can feel it. Like, the next couple days, you're just like, oh man, I slept wrong like 3 days ago and I'm still feeling it.
Right.
So yeah, they have all these what do you go with when you're a mattress person? Because, you know, they had, you know, like, we grew up, there's like one kind of mattress, it's just flat, and we've, you know, I even had bunk beds that I don't think even had like a spring or anything in it. and then like now it seems like there's pillow top, there's spring, there's hard, because I think there is like five. There's like a cushion firm, and then there's like a plush. So what do you go with?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not really well versed in it. I just know that I like something that's a little softer, that's a little bit more cushiony. And my wife likes things that feel closer to a cinder block.
So, yeah, I think you're cushion firm, too. That's, like, right in the middle. Because you have what I, like, sometimes I'll sleep on my shoulder like you. And if you have something that's too soft, like, all your weight just goes right on your shoulder.
Yeah,
and you,
exactly.
Like, sink down. So you need something, like, a little firmer to kind of keep you.
But not too firm afloat. Your whole side is falling asleep.
Right, right, yeah. So it's a touchy thing. I mean, it is like an all-day type of thing that you really want to, like, think through this whole, through the decision.
Yeah.
Because you're spending more time in that than you are in, like, sneakers or anything, so.
I know. So I think I'm going to have to wait a little bit. Exercise is another huge thing. We've been definitely working out every day, and the days that I work out, I've only skipped like a couple, and those nights I do not sleep as well. You want to, not only does it feel great when you're doing it and this kind of relieves stress, but it also makes you a little more tired, so you just conk out at night.
Yeah. I mean, that's been a major thing too, is like, you know, I'm living alone, and, you know, my schedule is pretty flexible now, and it's just hard to, because there is, like you said, you don't want to have anxiety about what's going on, so you want to be comfortable, but then you also don't want to just, I did nothing today. Or, you know what I mean? Like, you get involved in a cleaning project or something, you know? Right. Like, everyone's gone through their kitchen and thrown out a bunch of stuff. And
yeah, exactly.
I've done all that, too. I've done all the cleaning and all that kind of stuff.
So funny how everybody acts exactly the same way. Everyone's doing the same thing, going for more walks, watching more stuff. Have you watched The Tiger King on Netflix yet?
Yeah. I was just going to ask you about that. That was fascinating.
Hilarious. I'm only on episode 4.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it just keeps getting crazier. Like, you think that it's over. It's still going. It's nuts.
Yeah, it's so funny. I think that's the most popular thing streaming right now by far.
Absolutely. And like, I didn't know it was, you know, it's like 7 episodes, and I thought it was maybe like just a set documentary. And then, like, it was crazy. Like, I mean, first of all, I don't know if you've ever, you went to Africa, so, like, you saw how dangerous all these things were. You know, lions and tigers and everything in the wild.
Yeah.
Can you imagine some idiot just putting a cage together and bringing them to like a mall to let people pet them. Like, how is that even legal?
I don't know, but I have to tell you, I'm like I said, only four in, and I'm definitely rooting for Joe Exotic. I don't think there's anything wrong with this guy. I think he's just doing the best he can under weird circumstances.
Hey, he gets that pick me up from the meth, and that kind of gets you going through the day. Some people have different things to work for him, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's got their own thing. She doesn't seem like she's too nice of a person either. Do you think she killed her husband?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the crazy. It did pay off, because that's the thing, is you know, you watch that first episode and they at least show, I forget if they show both the, because there's two kind of like tiger guys in like Oklahoma and South Carolina, and they're just these kind of like whack jobs that are kind of running a cult. And then,
yeah,
you know,
that's a weird part of it too. The polygamy.
And then there's this, lady that's like, you know, supposedly the rescue person, but she's also just charging the same amount of money and getting all these people to work for free.
I know.
and used to sell all these cats to other places too, and basically made her husband disappear. So,
now, I know I've said it before, but don't you think it's about time that we start our own cult? It does not seem that difficult.
Well, I mean, that's the thing, is I think you can, but those are the type of people that always end up murdering you in your sleep, Tom. I feel like those are the. I'm sure there's five people out there that want to be Tom Papa's bread assistant, but I wouldn't. I would sleep with one eye open.
I don't know. You never see if people really. I mean, they. You know, maybe someone tries to embezzle from you or does something like that, but they very rarely end up dead. It just seems like people are so easily manipulated. And you look, these people, you wouldn't follow these people to the end of the parking garage. And these people are dedicating their lives just to be a part of them. I mean, there's just so many people out there you could just manipulate. Why we don't have a cult, we're really wasting our time.
Well, we need tigers. That's the whole thing. Is you got to have a couple tiger cubs or something to entice the people. That's what your bread does. I mean, have you noticed that? That's become a major thing. I noticed that everyone's trying to bake bread now. They're all.
I know.
You were way above the married white guy thing.
Yeah.
You were the first guy.
I know. I was ahead of the curve. It's amazing. My whole feed is just filled with people asking bread questions. I'm like Dear Abby for bread.
I know. I think you do have a cult. I just don't. You haven't met them yet.
That would be fun. I want a cult. Maybe I just got to start up like a. I have to start up a bakery. I need a place where they can all meet.
Yeah, that's what you need. Like I mean, that's the whole thing. Is you even said that, you know, that tartine, you would have just worked there for free, right?
Yeah,
like that's what you need, a place like that. You open Tom's Bread Shop, and people are like, "Hey, we can't pay you, but you'll get bread, and you'll get to be around Tom." And they're like, "I'm in."
Yeah, we got to do this. We have to do it, and you just get to pick whoever you want to be in it. So, do you go like the one guy who was just picking people that were just out of prison and had drug problems? Those people seemed like he made a good cult out of them. Then the other guy went a different route, and he went with all women who were looking for boyfriends. That's a whole nother. That's like the Bikram yoga guy. That's a way you could go.
Yeah, that they both kind of seem somewhat illegal. Well, at least the guy who's grooming the 17-year-old and 18-year-old girls to work there. That's
right.
Definitely very creepy, but I will say it's funny. I grew up and we had one fast food place that was kind of a known thing that everyone who got out of jail like that day is working at the chicken place. And I remember, I remember Norm MacDonald had that joke about, like, you know, businesses that hire one ex-convict will get a tax break, and businesses that hire more than one ex-convict will be stabbed and murdered. So yeah, he definitely got the weird pick of the litter, man. I just I don't know. Yeah, I guess you just have to have you have to want to tell people what to do, right? That's what most people are looking for, just somebody to tell them what to do.
That's it. You just have to have some confidence. So everyone in this thing is a whack job, but they all have confidence and they all just walk up and take the role of the leader and just tells everybody exactly what to do. And that's what I'm saying. It's so, it seems like it's pretty easy to do.
You just have to buy into, like, your I don't know, what will it be besides bread? I mean, you got to have some kind of philosophy.
Well, you can just kind of make that up as you go along. That's what they do. They just kind of make it up as they go along. Just kind of come up with stuff. Start writing it down. Get some pamphlets. Maybe a flyer or two.
Yeah, you could open up, like, during the quarantine, you could just have a whole village. You have to come in and live at the Papa Ranch.
I tell you, there have been some good things happening at the ranch. There's been two rounds of bagels.
Oh, yeah?
One was okay. The second round was stellar. And
oh, that's tonight, right. I think I did see that.
And then last night I made pizza dough that's in the fridge waiting.
Nice.
It's going to be pizza night tonight, so I got to get to the store and pick up some stuff for that. Yeah, I'm very excited. There's been some some good stuff being made.
But so what are you doing with this? So the store thing, you are keeping your distance, or are you going to, like, a smaller place, or what are you doing to?
I've been going to a supermarket that's been pretty mellow. It's been pretty quiet, and it's people are definitely, like, walking around on high alert. Like, they're everybody's keeping their distance. A lot more masks, handing out wipes when you take the cart. It's very difficult because everyone's just trying to stay away from each other. But, you know, human beings, everybody naturally bottles up by the eggs or, you know, ends up having to face each other going through the thing. And it's very difficult when you're a friendly person who's used to saying hello to people and talking to people, which I do. Nobody wants to talk to you. They see you coming, they, like, turn their cart around and go down the aisle the other way. It's,
right.
But... yeah, I don't know. I kind of like going because it just gives you a vibe of what's happening. It feels like a little... You ever been, like, when you're, like, on the ships and stuff and you go to, like, a grocery store and, like an island, like in the Jamaica or a place like that doesn't get a lot of stuff, so they just run out and there's, like, empty shelves except for, like, this one whole section of
right.
Cheese Whiz. You know what I mean? It feels a little like that. But
yeah, have you noticed what's left?
Yeah. I'll tell you what's left and what's not left. I can still get sardines, but I can't get anchovies.
Are anchovies fresher than sardines?
No, I think they're just more popular. You can use them in more cooking. You can make a lot of pasta dishes with anchovy paste. There's, like, a lot of different things that almost as a seasoning you can use anchovy because it's, like, the salty-ish thing, and they're small and can be chopped up. The sardine isn't really – that's the thing you eat on its own. You don't really cook with it as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I was very upset, though. I was really – I'm like, no one eats anchovies, and gone. The whole section is gone. Very upset.
Can you have, like, an anchovy pond in your backyard? Is that, like, a legal thing to do, to raise them?
I've never seen what an anchovy actually looks like. What does an anchovy
look like? Yeah, me neither.
When they're swimming around. You got to
get some pictures.
Yeah.
I will say this. All of a sudden, no one is gluten-free. Because that's all the stuff that's left is the gluten-free stuff,
good
apparently.
Point. Really good point. a lot of gluten-free stuff is left for sure. Yeah, all of a sudden everybody's eating bread with no problem.
Right. Carbs aren't a problem anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But, you know, people, anecdotally, I can tell just from talking to people, they kind of had this feeling like they were gaining all this weight because they were just at home eating and stuff. But there's no, everybody's eating real food because they're making it themselves. It's not as mm-hmm. filled with sugar and salt and all the rest of it. So people are actually eating healthier than when you're on the go and just getting takeout and fast food and all the other stuff that you're eating. People are actually turning back to living really the way you should, which is cooking for yourself.
Yeah, I mean, that's why our act on the road is going to be great, because my view is the exact opposite of yours. Because somebody was trying to pitch that to me the other night. They're like, yeah, there's nothing like a home-cooked meal. And I was like, yeah, that's probably true, but have you ever eaten at a really good restaurant? That's way better.
Yeah, but...
way better than meatloaf.
Yeah, but that should be a, that shouldn't be, you shouldn't eat there more than you eat at home.
Like it's that, a joke, of course, but of course. I mean, it's, but I don't want to sell it too much. I'm sure your kids at some point might be sick of bread, maybe.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you get sick of all the stuff that you make and you just want something from the outside. And, you know, you literally get to the point where I don't care if there's a virus, someone just get me a burrito.
I did have one extra thing that was pretty cool that my mom sent me, like one of those kind of care packages that you would get in college.
Ooh, nice.
And she sent me, like, you know, she had, because she's like a hypochondriac anyway, and so am I. So, like, she was like, oh, I had these stored anyway. Here's the Clorox wipes that we've had. Here's the, I had like all these powdered drinks. She sent like pasta and, you know, all these like, you know, those zinc tablets and, Tylenol. Supposedly that's another good thing to have is Tylenol. So she sent me like one of those like old fashioned like care packages. So that was pretty cool.
Oh, that's nice. You could always count on.
Yeah. Like napkins, you know, like I don't have nobody will give you napkins anymore. So like, anything, any kind of paper product is kind of impossible to buy.
Yeah,
that's like the one thing.
I know.
I don't know if you noticed that.
I did notice that. And, you know, my daughter's always, she's very eco and is always trying to get us to use less paper products anyway. So I was like, yeah, why am I using a paper towel every time my hand has a drop of water on it?
Well, you do kind of feel like old-fashioned, right? Like, remember how disgusting you thought, like, a handkerchief was? But it's like, now you'd probably use that. Like, it's just me.
Yeah.
So I'll just use one handkerchief to clean my glasses, blow my nose, and clean the counter.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. What I'm really looking forward to is things are going to start warming up across the country next week. Temperatures are starting to rise a little bit. We're getting out of this March, you know, we're getting the out like a lamb part of this. What I always consider the worst month of the year is March. And
yeah, we had a terrible, I mean, not only was it cold, we had like a week of rain, which was like a year's worth of rain for LA.
I know. I mean, it was good, I guess, for the droughts and all that stuff. But yeah, as soon as we were holed up, it kind of helped, I think, to keep people in, because once the sun was out one day in the middle of it, and people just stormed the beaches, and they
right.
had to close the parking lots and tell everyone, no, you're supposed to be home. So I think it was kind of, the timing was kind of helpful, but just to get the temperatures up is going to be so nice. Get a nice high 80, let everything get toasty, kill the virus, get some sun on your face.
I think that's what's happening, right? I think at least here it's going to be like 70s again.
Yeah, and all around the country, it's just everything's going to tick up a little bit next week, which is going to be sweet, sweet, sweet. Hopefully it doesn't get people all running outside thinking it's all over.
Yeah, I mean, I'm you know, like, I think everyone was a little, like, just worried about what was going to happen. And I think now we at least have kind of figured out how to do our own thing, you know, at least within our little system, you know what I mean? It's like, okay, here's the places I'm comfortable going. Here's what I can do to get exercise. Yeah. Here's what will make me feel productive, you know, like God bless all the people in New York, man. I don't know if I could do this with five roommates and, you know, going to the store every day and getting food. Like, so hopefully everyone's kind of doing the lockdown and listening to our podcast, and we'll bring you through it.
I could go for some hot wings. I'll tell you that right now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What about nachos?
Yeah, those I can make on my own pretty easily. That's not so bad. But I ain't making some good wings.
The thing is, like, everything's been about not everything, but like, I guess it was like, okay, we just need like sustenance. So we got, you know, pasta, stuff like that. And then it was like, man, I want something good. Like I bought these things. I'd never seen them before. They're called It's It. It's like an ice cream sandwich. Have you ever heard of this thing?
No.
I guess it's a San Francisco thing from like the 20s. And it's like one of those, it was like the original like ice cream sandwich, like cookie thing. So it's like oatmeal cookies with ice cream in the middle. And then it's like covered in chocolate.
Ooh.
And it was amazing. And so this whole quarantine has been worth just finding out about that. So I'm happy.
There you go.
It's all about ice cream.
Right, exactly. There's something to live for.
So, all right, buddy. Yes. What's your outlook coming up? Like we originally had like a 10-pound lose 10 pounds. I think that was even before the quarantine, right?
Yeah, it was. So, I think the quarantine has actually helped that. I think I've been dropping weight more than gaining weight for sure. That's all good. My only thing is keeping an eye on when we're going to be able to go perform again. We are now on 2.5 weeks of no live stand-up shows.
And, right.
I feel like that break is over for me. I would like to be on stage somewhere soon, and it's not going to happen for, oh man, I guess like another 3-4 weeks, hopefully, on the best case scenario. So
yeah.
that part is the most, personally, that's the most difficult part.
The good thing is like anything else that you would have wanted to do, you would have also not been able to do right now, unless you're a doctor. Like, even if you were a professional athlete playing for the Yankees, you wouldn't be working right now, Tom. So no. Just be happy you picked what you love.
Yeah, no, that's all good. I get that. Everybody's got their, you know, my kids have all stuff that they're really into that's canceled. Every single human being on earth is dealing with that right now. But I really am just talking about me.
Yeah, just getting out and that is kind of like the authority thing, right? Of like, you know, most people wouldn't leave their house until they can't leave, and they're like, well, I'm not gonna stay in just because they're telling me to stay in.
Yeah, just traveling around would be pretty exciting right now, just to be getting on an airplane and being at a crowded airport and boarding a plane with horrible people hip-checking you and stuff. All of it sounds, like, delightful now.
I was supposed to be flying to Belize today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And
this was Belize time?
Yeah. So this was the beginning of... That's the funny thing is, like, I think I even told you. I was like, this is going to be the busiest month of my career. I did everything perfectly where I'm, like, working every single day. And even the flights are going into like the next show, and then of course everything gets canceled. So, yeah. So that's
yeah. I started playing a video game, but this is kind of the problem. I've run into before whenever I'm like, oh, I'm going to play, and we got Zelda, and it was like, it's cool, and you're kind of like running around. It's like a kind of a mental escape because you're actually running through fields, and it's pretty cool. But you're not playing that during a sunny day. There's reflection on the screen. You got to wait till night, and at night, the whole family wants to watch something, so I'm not going to be like, no, I'm I'm playing this video game now. That's not really happening. So
yeah, it's like a late night, you know, I have that Madden game for my Xbox, so I'll play like a football game, which will only be like, you know, like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But, but I can't get into like those adventure games where it's like 40 minutes just to like set it up. And
yeah, I know exactly. That's the problem. It doesn't, you know, I've been talking about this for years. It just doesn't really fit my lifestyle. As much as I see the joy of it, if I lived alone, maybe I wouldn't be drinking as much. Maybe I'd be playing a lot more video games.
And we haven't done golfing either, right? That's something we're going to stay away from, I feel
like.
Yeah,
they closed those down, so you can't do that anymore. So
yeah, I feel like if we were in a small town, we probably still could do that, but just L.A., I heard even they closed down the hiking stuff just because so many people were doing it.
Yeah, well, yeah, they want to get out there and run around. My whole thing is, can I get to the store and can I get pepperoni that can go on the pizza? That's my whole mission for today.
Man, all right, you got to post pictures of the pizza.
Yeah, oh, I absolutely will. I absolutely will. It's so far, so good.
Nice.
All right, buddy. Good talking
to you. All right,
man. Maybe we'll meet in some dark alley and I'll shuffle off some bread to you.
Yeah, this feels like prohibition for comedy right now. So.
Yeah, I know. The best part is at the end of the podcast, you don't have to plug anything.
Right. we'll just, you can go back, you can subscribe and listen to what the last 5 years were like.
Right.
And then,
hilarious. All right, man, enjoy yourself and everybody else, enjoy your life.